from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. San Francisco has the largest number of boot camps, and the demand for coders is higher in San Francisco than anywhere else in the United States. Mostly men and some women are rebooting their lives by opting for computer boot camps, which teach code and hold the promise for well-paying jobs in the tech sector. But how much are they living up to their expectations and the hype, both in job placement and in higher salaries? We'll have an hour all about boot camps and coding right after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to the second hour of this morning's forum program. The demand for computer programmers is on the rise. The job site Glassdoor shows 7,300 nationwide job openings for coders so far this year, and coding boot camps are answering the call. These intensive multi-week courses promise to provide enough skills to land a coveted programming job. The courses are expected to produce 16,000 coders this year, twice as many as last year, and in March, the White House even announced an initiative to help communities hire graduates of these intensive courses. Are coding boot camps worth the investment, and do they live up to their promises? That's what we're going to take up in this second hour of the forum program. Joining us here in studio is Ann Spaulding. She directs Dev Bootcamp here in San Francisco. Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you. Also want to welcome Shauna Scott, who is with us this morning from Portland, Oregon. She's a junior software engineer in Portland. She went to coding boot camp at Portland Code School. Welcome, Shauna Scott.
Hi, good morning.
Morning to you. We'll also say good morning. Actually, it's an afternoon in Manhattan, but we'll welcome Paul Ford here. And he's a writer and programmer, wrote a piece for Bloomberg Businessweek called What is Code That Explains Coding. And Paul Ford, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. And let me begin, Ann Spaulding, with you. And let's begin by just talking in general about, well, what boot camps do and how they're run and all that. Yours is roughly a 19-week program, I believe, and people are at it for about 12 hours a day and also on weekends, yeah?
Yes. I can just give you a brief overview if you'd like.
Sure. I want to know the cost, too, of course.
Of course. So the cost in San Francisco is $13,500 for the 19-week program. And the program has 9 weeks that's online. During this portion, we're helping people both understand if this is the right path for their learning and also giving them an overview of the program and some of the skills that they need to be successful once they come on site. The 9 weeks on site, then, is the immersive part of our program, and that is 12 to up to 15 hours a day and on the weekends. It's very intense, but also in a very supportive learning community. And during those 9 weeks, we take people from beginners who have only dabbled in coding to being successful junior web developers.
And you have what you call pull-based learning. This is a high bar, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot that that people have to learn about how to code. I mean, it's a pretty big mountain in many ways.
There's a lot that they need to learn about how to code. There's also a lot that they need to learn about how to learn, which will probably be the most important skill that they'll take with them into their jobs.
But as I understand it, for example, part of this curriculum involves maybe such things as rebuilding Twitter.
Yes, that's one of the challenges that they do in week five. And we very purposely state that challenge as rebuild Twitter, not do step one, step two, step three, because what we're doing is reversing education. Instead of telling them these are the things you need to learn, we're giving them a challenge like rebuild Twitter and asking them to figure out what are the things I need to know to successfully do this challenge.
You gave up a tenured professorship to run this. So you really believe in what you're doing then, I presume, yeah?
This is the most amazing type of education I've ever seen in my life, and I've spent my entire life around it. And giving up a tenured position to come both learn and develop this form of education was the best choice I've ever made.
You also say you have an 87% employment rate, and there's a lot of skepticism about the statistics we hear of various boot camps, particularly because there are some that simply are kind of scam operations, really. I mean, you'll concede that, you know?
Absolutely. One of the things that Dev Boot Camp and some other the boot camps are doing is trying to bring regulation into this field and trying to allow people who are trying to figure out, should I do this, some security and knowing. So our numbers are all researched, they're all supported, and we can definitely provide that information.
You can prove that 87%
Absolutely.
Number incontrovertibly.
Absolutely.
And at this point, what about the likelihood of getting a job or job security for that matter, particularly since, you know, the economy goes up and down, it's a roller coaster. There have been a lot of guarantees coming out of coding boot camps. You're going to definitely get a job and you get the right kind of job and you get a job that you can have six-figure salary at and so forth. I mean, some of the claims are pretty, well, maybe they're realistic. I don't know. What's your assessment?
So first of all, we don't guarantee a job. We guarantee an amazing learning community and the ability to be a web developer when you come out. But our statistics, which you just noted, are showing that people are getting jobs. They're getting jobs quite quickly. They're getting jobs that are leading to more success in the industry as they go forward. We've been in the industry for 3 years, and we have graduates that have been successful web developers and have moved from junior to now mid-level web developers during the 3 years that they've been out. So our guarantee is in the numbers that you'll see from our results from our students.
And where do you find teachers? I think they call them unicorns in your field, don't they?
I do call them unicorns. Most of our teachers are professional developers who have a penchant for being able to not only talk about their field and bring that to others, but also are very, very passionate about education. And they come to us straight from being professional developers to working with our students.
Not that many women in this field. What does it run, about 20% that go to coding boot camps?
We're currently running at 30%. Working really, really hard to increase that.
Well, Shauna Scott is a junior software engineer, and she actually went to coding boot camp in Portland Code School, and she's joining us from Portland this morning. And Shauna, you're kind of a success story, but from your experience, it's sort of like the Wild West out there. There are success stories and there are some pretty sob stories or sad stories, yeah?
Both attended Portland Code School and was the associate director for 6 months after graduating, so I've kind of seen it from both sides. And it's definitely a highly variable experience that people get. My code school was started by some really great people here in town who knew what they were doing, and we have a lot of success stories that have come out, myself included. I've been a professional developer for a year now, but I've also heard a lot of stories from people from other boot camps. I know a woman in Texas who paid $10,000 for a 9-week class. Their teacher quit 3 weeks in, and she ended up teaching the rest of the class because all these people had basically quit their jobs, sent their whole savings to this school, and then were abandoned halfway through. And so it's really it's something that we have to watch out for. And I thought it was interesting that you brought up regulation earlier, because there are actually regulations that cover most of the schools in the country. The problem is that a lot of these schools kind of choose not to adhere to those regulations, and I'm not saying Dev Boot Camp specifically. I don't actually know your licensure status, although I know California has been a little more proactive about it than some states, but most coding boot camps actually count as for-profit education schools and should be licensed under their state's regulations. And there are some challenges to that because
a lot of them are not licensed, right?
Right, a lot of them aren't licensed, and there's a lot of reasons for that. Some of them more legitimate than others. A lot of states, for instance, have their regulations kind of tailored more for tattoo schools, cosmetology schools, schools that have a license that you get when you graduate, whereas for web development, which is what most of these coding boot camps do, there's no license. There's no industry standard for what it means to be a web developer. So it's a lot trickier to kind of navigate that. But
then if there's no license, there are no veteran benefits, there's no student financial aid, and, you know, you're out of the cold, right?
Right, right, from the school's perspective. But I'm saying as an industry, we don't have a standard for what makes a web developer. So there's no standard for the state to hold the school against and say you pass or you fail. But that being said, a lot of schools do just opt out of the licensure process entirely because It frees them up from having to tell students that they have recourse if the school is a scam, for one. And it makes their paperwork overhead a lot lower. So,
well, there's a big learning bar here. I mean, we talked about this with Ann Spaulding. I think you've compared it to drinking from a fire hose, and I like
yes,
that metaphor.
Very much so.
But there's something about this that's very off-putting when you read cases, as I did, for example, of a woman who said, you know, her kid came out of school and she had high hopes for him going through coding boot camp, went through coding boot camp and was told at the end, after with unrefundable, of course, money, that he hadn't passed the test. So he was just out of luck. I mean, there's a lot of that sort of thing out there, is there?
There definitely is. There's 5 coding boot camps in Portland, and they're definitely of variable quality. So.
Well, but you are, once again, here to tell us that success can be had. You've done very well at this. Can you give us a little idea of how well you've done or where you're at now?
Right now I'm at a small startup called 38 Zeros. We're an Internet of Things hardware company. I do Ruby on Rails development, so I've built most of our front-end graphical user interface for interacting with our devices. It's been really great because I've had a lot of autonomy in a small company, and coding bootcamp definitely prepared me to be able to take on that challenge without a lot of direction and leadership. So my company is really great, and we're doing really well, and so I've been there almost a year. I'm actually having my annual review later today.
Well, good luck with that.
Thanks.
Yeah, Shauna
we'll
Scott.
Find out how well I'm doing today.
Junior software engineer with us from Portland, Oregon, and it is still a difficult field for women to get into, but here's a San Francisco woman who went to a coding boot camp just for women.
My name is Nicole Zuckerman. I went to Hackbright Academy, which is an all-female boot camp. I was terrified that I would not get a job after this, but I would have spent 3 months of my life doing this program, learning the skill, and then find that I couldn't use it anywhere, find that I would have to go back and find something else to do after that and then be out all that time and all that money and not having to show for it. And afterwards, I had 3 job offers immediately, and now I work at a company called Soch.
And there's another success story. I wanted listeners to hear one more young woman, Nicole Zuckerman, talking about how the coding boot camp helped her in ways that a 4-year college couldn't.
I'm already beyond where people who are coming at with a 4-year degree are. I have experience working on real products, getting something shipped, having something that has bugs in it, and then having to fix that. And my code is probably more readable, more practical than the code of someone who is just coming out of a 4-year college now.
Well, let me bring Paul Ford into this. Paul Ford is in Manhattan. He's a writer and programmer, wrote a piece in Bloomberg Business Week called What is Code? That explains coding, and has had a lot of experience. And this is kind of a union card going through this, isn't it, Paul?
I'm sorry, kind of a what?
A union card. You know, you go. It's like going to a trade school a bit or something along those lines.
It's a little bit. It is, you know, one of the things that gets ignored in all of this is that coding is clerical work. I mean, It can be very creative, it can be very exciting, but any coder who's been at it for a while, and this includes me, will tell you that a lot of it is a little bit boring. And so you have to learn all that stuff. You have to learn how to sort of work through it and figure it out. But the thing that's tricky in listening to everybody is that it feels like coding boot camps are being presented as the only answer. And there's a lot of ways to learn to program. There is, if you're a woman, take a class at Girl Develop It, low cost, low requirement in terms of the amount of time, go once a week. You can pick up some books. You can, every computer that you have, that you own, in particular desktop computers rather than mobile, you can learn how to program using that computer and see if you like this. And so the concept of, like, I have to spend $15,000 in order to completely reboot my life isn't entirely valid. There's a lot of ways to get into this world.
Well, and there are a lot of ways, though, from the boot camps to actually get into jobs, aren't there?
There are. I mean, I think that, you know, the best friend of a boot camp is going to be the HR department of a large corporation. And there's lots of startup successes and so on. But, and I co-founded a software company, I have employees who've been through the boot camps, and one of them is just excellent. And so it's certainly not, it's not a mark against you, but I also have plenty of people who are entirely self-taught, and I have people with computer science degrees. It's a huge, varied industry, and it depends on what you want to do.
Well, there are a lot of jobs where you are in New York, and there are probably even more here in San Francisco. But the fact of the matter is it is kind of a trade school, and there's always the argument that you miss something when you go into that. I mean, I happen to be a professor in the field of humanities, and so, you know, there's a somewhat polarized view of the world that one gets working in the vineyards that I do. But the reality is that you're learning programming, and you don't know if you're going to be in a boom or a bust economy. It's boom now, but it may go toward bust, and you don't know really if you're going to have anything even resembling what we would call maybe a broader, more liberal education.
I think that's very true. I mean, you're definitely making a gamble by doing this, that this is not a bubble that's going to explode, that this is something that's going to continue to grow, by which I mean sort of the entire world of technology, and that if you can find purchase right now in that world, your career will be able to expand as technology expands. I think, the thing with, if you go and you get a four-year degree in computer science, or I teach at a graduate program in interaction design at the School of Visual Arts here in New York City, and it's a two-year program, and they work those grad students hard, and they come out knowing an enormous amount, and they get scooped up into very high-level jobs at places like Twitter and Facebook, and there's just, the more time you put in, the more insurance you have that your career will go well. This is a little more of a gamble. There's a lot to be said for a long, thoughtful process, learning computer science, learning product development, focusing on design, whichever one of those disciplines. If you're a smart person and you take more time, you're going to get more out of it.
Well, it's at present what can be described as a seller's market, and we're talking about the whole phenomenon of the rise of coding boot camps. I'm going to bring our listeners into this, and these are intensive multi-week courses that promise to give one enough skills to land a coveted programming job, and again, expected to produce some 16,000 coders this year alone. And that's twice as many as last year. And the White House has announced an initiative to help communities hire graduates of these intensive courses. If you have personal experience with them, we'd certainly like to hear from you. We'd like to bring you into the conversation. If you have questions, you're welcome to bring them into the program as well. And would you spend $12,000 on a coding boot camp? Let me throw that question out to listeners as well. In fact, we asked our listeners whether they would attend a boot camp for $12,000, a little higher here in San Francisco. Michelle writes, if you have the aptitude and need some personal support, $12,000 is a bargain. Grad school is $40,000 to $75,000 a year, a huge investment of money and opportunity cost. Mark says it depends on how reputable the boot camp is. There are a ton of expensive classes out there that are useless, kind of like Trump University. Another listener says, I think I need more information before applying. Most people applying to these are actually looking for a job and don't have money to begin with. By the way, let me go to you on this, Ann Spaulding. Well, let me give out the phone number first, but I want to find out a little more about how people can actually pay for these courses. But join us toll-free if you have questions or comments, or would like to talk about your own experiences here, or just let us know whether you would spend this kind of money on a coding boot camp. Toll-free number to call, 866-733-6786. We welcome your calls. Again, join us now at 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments right onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. So, Ann Spaulding, how do people pay?
That's a great question. As an emerging industry, it's been difficult to get funding for this. We're not accredited at the federal level, so federal student funding isn't available. But one of the things that is happening is, just as you're noticing this industry and its growth, so are private lending institutions. So Dev Bootcamp currently partners with several private lending institutions. That is moving towards more and more institutions coming on board and giving accessibility to students coming in.
Well, if you've had an experience in a boot camp, found it worthwhile or not, we certainly would like to hear from you. And here's Nathan, who tweets us from a coding camp that he's at. And he says, this morning we're going over cookies and encryption. When I'm done, I'll be looking for a position in front-end development. I did consider traditional computer science programs, although the culture of fun, immersive, semi-self-directed, and open learning swayed my decision. And that kind of comports with, Shauna Scott, what you were saying. Let's get a little bit of your own experience in here, Shauna. It's very important when you get into the field after you're out of boot camp, really, isn't it, to, well, find somebody who can mentor you, but also to realize when you're in the boot camp experience, you got to like it and enjoy it, don't you?
You really do. It's an overwhelming experience. It's all your senses all the time, and it is completely exhausting. It feels like running a marathon every day, getting your brain to work that hard. And for me, I've been very lucky that I have a lot of close friends who are developers themselves, so I had a lot of access to resources. I also found Twitter to be an essential part of attending boot camp. I am always asking people on Twitter advice or questions or to volunteer for conferences so that I can get access to speakers. I did not come into this with $12,000 to spend. I came to coding boot camp with the money that I had saved up from my wedding and had to take FMLA leave while I was attending coding boot camp because I was caring for a sick family member. So it's a very, very much a challenge. And Paul is right that you probably are going to get a more well-rounded education, like a deeper understanding if you attend a four-year university. But the reality is for someone like me, that would never have been possible. I attended college. I have my degree in ceramics, actually. So I have the fine arts well-roundedness, but there was no way I could take four more years off and spend another $50,000 to get another degree. I was making $10 an hour, and now I make $55,000 a year, and I have more flexibility than I could ever imagine. So,
well, as we're coming up on a break,
let me
just get a final word from you, Paul Ford, and we'll bring our listeners in when we return, just about advice to those who may want to or be considering going into this area and joining a boot camp.
Well, I think just it's like anything. Get a couple tastes before you get into it. Look at do some programming tutorials online. You know, play around a little bit. Look for learn a little bit of the Python programming languages. Python programming language. Poke around on Twitter and see if you can take one small class and before you go deeper. It's not a truly joyful career many days, and it can be really challenging, and you should make sure you have an appetite.
Well, we're spending this hour discussing whether coding boot camps are worth the investment, if they live up to their promises. Paul Ford with us from New York, writer and programmer, wrote a piece on this in Bloomberg Businessweek called What is Code? And Shauna Scott with us up in Portland, junior software engineer, went to coding boot camp at Portland Code School, and Anne Spaulding with us in studio, directs the Dev Boot Camp in San Francisco. You are welcome to join the program, as I said earlier. You can do that by calling us now at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786, or emailing us forum@kqed.org, or going to our website, kqed.org/forum. When we return, we'll hear directly from you. Stay tuned. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We're spending this hour talking about the rise of coding boot camps, and with us in studio, Anne Spaulding, director of Dev Boot Camp in San Francisco. With us by phone from Portland, Oregon, Shauna Scott, who is a junior software engineer, and Paul Ford with us by phone from Manhattan, writer and programmer, and wrote What is Code, which appeared in Bloomberg Business Week. Paul, let me get a quick response from you on some pushback here. This is a local self-proclaimed hacker named Dan Gailey who wrote a piece criticizing boot camps, and here's what he said. The boot camp model gives you an intensive course good enough so that you're able to build a, expletive, web app, and then they hopefully place you in a job needing a code monkey. In return, they get a recruiter's cut when you're hired. They make money off of people up front and in back, sort of genius on their part, huh? All this combines to make a dire situation even worse. There is a dearth of developers. Management and recruiters commoditize them. They have a high churn rate, and they face even higher burnout. And this situation creates a business that takes advantage of two markets. This will eventually turn out lower quality individuals while trying to maximize profits.
Whew.
Yeah, that was my response. Go ahead, Paul.
You know, it's in some cases that's going to be accurate. It's also there's a little bit of defensiveness there. There's somebody who has assured their place in the world and is a little suspicious of people who are coming up. I think that's normal human behavior in some ways. I think, look, it's really tricky, right? Because here we're... Like, when you listen to Shauna talk, you realize here is a person who is capable of just about anything. And she has chosen to really focus here and is succeeding, right? And so there are a lot of people who are probably going to be left behind by a coding boot camp in the same way that there are so many students who are left behind by a four-year university. To the technical issues, it's very tricky because a person who has a couple months of experience and represents themselves as a full-stack web developer, there are 100,000 edge cases that they have not yet been able to consider in their career, things about whatever, database optimizations or image formats and the actual speed at which things are processed and how to scale things to millions of users. And even if you touch on those subjects in a boot camp, you're just never going to be able to get to the kind of depth that somebody with 5 or 10 years of experience might have. So some pushback and criticism along those lines, I think, is inevitable when you have people who are getting a couple months of experience. So the people who hire are going to need to be, and as I talk to people about this, the people who hire say, look, I have to take some of these employees by the hand, but they can be very good, but they definitely require some transition time into the workforce.
All right, let me bring some of our callers into this. Scott, join us. You're on the air. Hi, Scott.
Hi. I've been listening in. I've been hearing about the coding boot camp and the university options, but I would just like to add that I participate in a free – there are a couple free coding-like boot camps, but rather than, say, pay $12,000 or wait to a job and then pay money, there's no expectation for any sort of monetary exchange, and there's more of a focus on free education and community building. A couple of those resources, one is called Free Code Camp, which is it like teaches you everything from HTML, CSS, jQuery, all the building blocks for a basic web developer, and also has a big emphasis on community building through things like Gitter and doing projects with other students from all around the United States and the world. There's also the Odin Project, which teaches Ruby on Rails, and then there's also things like Don't Fear the Internet, which is made more for artists just trying to do web development. I guess what I'm trying to sort of interject is that there's plenty of free resources, as Paul, I think it was Paul that was mentioning it, that people can easily get into without having to invest any sort of giant monetary monetary investment, and can just, as long as they have an internet connection and a computer, they can start learning how to be a web developer right now and then and see if it's for them.
All right, Scott, I thank you for that call, and let me go right to another caller, and that's Clint. Clint, you're on. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I just wanted to comment about the accessibility of these coding boot camps, where they don't necessarily accept everybody that applies and that would like to try their hand at a career in code. And there are other options. Many of the options that the last caller just described are great for beginners, but there are also online boot camps where you can learn with an experienced mentor. And the reason why I wanted to comment on that is that there's actually a fully loaded cost associated with attending one of these in-person boot camps. You don't just pay the tuition, but you also have the opportunity costs associated with lost salary while you're attending the camp and while you're searching for a job after the camp, not to mention relocating to a city where the camp is actually held. So I just wanted to point out that those costs can actually stack up if you insist on doing it in person.
Yeah, Ann Spaulding, want to comment?
Yeah, I just want to say to what Paul said before, there's a lot of pathways into becoming a developer, and this is one pathway, and it is a high cost. It is a high dedication to doing this for a short period of time, but what's provided is a learning community and a supportive environment so that you can come quickly from a dabbler to a junior web developer. So it's one pathway. The other pathways of going through a college or being self-taught are also effective. The biggest thing that we're trying to do is broaden that pipeline and allow this career to be available to more people and more types of learners. And I just want to touch a little bit on the accessibility issue. That is true. Many boot camps have different accessibility for learners, but there are several of them, ours included, that is open to absolute beginners. And so don't feel like you have to have gone down the self-taught path before you can go to a boot camp. Just do the research and find out which ones are accepting at which levels.
Let me read some more criticism, and you may want to weigh in to respond to this. A listener writes, I went to a computer learning center during the first dot-com boom, basically $15,000 to learn nothing. I still write a check for $250 a month to pay for it. The only thing that reminds me I went there. The center went bankrupt a year later, a travesty that this happens to thousands of people every year and has been for quite a while.
So as with any institution, there will be places that are successful and places that aren't. One of the biggest things that we're teaching and that most of the boot camps are teaching is how to learn. So yes, we're teaching you to be a web developer, but we're giving you the skills to continue learning in your career, which is paramount for this career. And I would just say do your research. If you have a boot camp that you're considering that doesn't have any history in the industry, then you might want to get a little bit more research about them to make sure that they're still going to be there to support you when you come out. But if you're learning the basics of a junior web developer and you're learning how to learn, then you have what you need to be successful in this career.
Do you get cuts from recruiters like Ailey pointed out in that article?
We don't.
And what about a listener who tweets, if you're employed by the institution that you graduate from, does that kind of pad the employment numbers? Is this a sponsored hour by the code school industry?
So we don't use the numbers of our students in our employment numbers. And again, like, more than happy to talk with those employment numbers with anyone.
And I'll answer that tweet. This is not a sponsored hour. Code schools, rest assured. Here's a caller from Oakland. Wanda, hi, join us.
Hi. I'd like to know if more community colleges are offering this or if any do, and if not, why not? And these could be 6 weeks boot camps. They could eventually become accredited. A community college could vet the instructors and could keep better records of what students, how they're doing. And it seems to me that the cost could then become something commensurate with what it should be. And in addition, I think that you could have multiple programs, 6-week programs, and the colleges should also not spend too much time worrying about whether people have a master's degree. It should be, are they competent in their field?
Well, a fair comment, Wanda, and a salient one. Thank you. Certainly people probably from City College will hear that comment because many of them do listen to this program. Let me bring another caller on, and that's you, Kevin. Welcome.
Yeah, hi there. I'm actually a professional web developer myself, and there are a lot of great resources online for learning to code yourself. But one of the things that I was just curious about, maybe a question to the guests are do people end up having to kind of learn more on their own as opposed to kind of going to a dev boot camp and kind of at least the more reputable boot camps, at least they kind of have a little bit of a reputation to work on, So at least employers know what to expect when they have these people come out, whereas with, someone else, it might be, free game for however their skill level is.
No, that's a good question. And I think, Shauna Scott, maybe you can address it in terms of your own experience.
Yeah, sure. The point of these programs is not to have you learn everything and be able to optimize millions of requests at a second right when you come out. Like, you're not going to be able to do that. What Paul said is accurate earlier, that you're going to need a little bit of hand-holding when you get out. That's just the truth. But the reality is that it's worth it, and it provides more diversity to web development teams. Having somebody who's more junior be able to look at your app and say, hey, I don't understand how this works, can help you find problem areas in your code earlier, can help you improve your documentation. So it's worth it to hire junior developers. I'm actually interested in coming back to the accessibility point if we have a second. One of the things that is the biggest barrier in my mind is that a lot of code schools pre-screen their applicants, right? They want to have the best students that are going to be successful through their programs. But a lot of times what that means is that they cherry-pick the people who are already likely to be successful in the industry. So a lot of times what happens is that women, people of color, people with neurodiversity, they are not able to access programs like this just because they're not able to even get in. So I'm happy that Dev Bootcamp is has better numbers than most as far as women attending, but we need to do more to make sure that people from different or different groups, different marginalized places, can get into these programs and can actually financially access them.
Let me go to some more listener emails and online comments. And a question for you, Paul Ford. Davey wants to know, does anyone know what the average of typical or typical starting salaries are post-grad? Some are claiming six figures. Is that realistic, Paul?
The other people on this call actually are on this show will be better answered, better positioned to answer that. Six figures is awfully high for a starting salary in industry. There are definitely people who are very talented, who are very skilled, who have a specific focus can get that. There are people who can demonstrate talent, but that's a lot. Most people might start somewhere between, in an urban area, between 60 to 80, in my experience. The nice thing about the field is that you can make a lot more money fairly quickly if you're able to demonstrate capacity and are very focused on learning.
Yeah, but here's addendum to that. I mean, I'm looking at another email from a listener. Says, how long the skill acquired in a boot camp, how long is it going to last? He says, I'm a former programmer. I had to relearn a computer language every 5 years or so.
Well, this is a tricky thing, right? Because I've been a nerd my whole life. And in 2001, I was building web pages, and I had been for 5 years. And the bottom dropped out. And all these people who'd shown up in the last, 3 to 4 years went home. They went back to banking, and they went back to various other industries. They had shown up to prosper from the digital excitement, and then the dot-com crash happened. And I stuck it out, and so did there's this very narrow ravine of nerds. We kind of all knew each other in New York City. And now, years later, we're still in the game, right? But
can I respond to that?
Shauna Scott wants to.
I think it's interesting to hear that because I think that there's another aspect of that that doesn't get talked about. So women in tech tend to leave within the first 10 years of their career at, I think the rate is 50%. So there's another aspect to that, just because the industry bubble popped, a lot of people don't have as much cushion to be able to get through that bubble and make it to the other side. So it's not necessarily a question of aptitude or trying to prosper off of a bubble for everyone. So I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. Ann Spaulding, what about this question of salary? Can you fill us in?
Sure. We have over 1,500 graduates in the past 3 years, and the average across the nation is 65,000, and the average in San Francisco is 75,000 coming out. So those are factual numbers on that. And then just to Paul's point, once you have a job in this field, the time to move up is quite quick. And moving into six-figure salaries happens within a year or more for most of our graduates.
But you nodded when I read that email about the language changing every 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely. So to that point, I think the most important thing that we're teaching our students is how to learn, how to process, how to be detail-oriented in this field, and how to learn the next language. I actually don't know what the most popular language is going to be in 2 to 3 years. I know 17 different languages. This is part of the field. So we're empowering our students to be able to move as the industry moves to learn the next language. Is it going to be mobile? Is it going to be embedded systems? What is it going to be in 5 years? No one knows. But if you love the field, if you know how to learn in this field and continue in it, then you're going to continue to be successful and you're not going to be on a bubble. The other thing I would say is I don't know that it's so much of a bubble. None of us know this, but if we look at where our students are getting employed, it's not that they're all getting employed in a big tech company. They're getting employed in industries across the gamut that need developers. So they're getting employed as an industry that works with chefs that needs to build a web app. They're getting employed with people who are, building a new janitorial system and they need web apps. This industry is exploding throughout all different career paths, and that's a lot less bubbly than just saying we need it as web developers.
Here's a listener named Elise who writes on our Facebook page, I have a BA in history but have been a stay-at-home mom for 9 years. I've been looking into coding boot camps as a way to jumpstart a new career. Are the 12 to 15-hour days during boot camp indicative of the hours one is supposed to work as a junior developer? Anne?
That's an excellent question. So one of the things that we're really pushing is, while the boot camp should be immersive, your career shouldn't be. That sort of intensity doesn't make sense. If you've been listening lately to the news with the Family Leave Act that's coming out, places like Netflix offering a year off for family leave, industry is starting to catch on to that. They're realizing that the demand for developers is so big, they need to start shifting so that they can hire people who need to have sustainable lifetimes. And we're finding, as our graduates going out, that they are able to get into careers where they're not being working 70-hour weeks. They're able to work sustainable times.
I'm looking at another email here from someone named Christine who says, please invite your guests to discuss the age demographics of these camps and the age demographics for software hires. As a 13-year resident of Mountain View in the heart of Silicon Valley who started coding in 1995, my experience and that of many in this area is that if you're over 40, the tech companies don't want you.
So our age demographic is 25 to 35 primarily. Most people have a degree and are on a second career. That said, we have had people over 40.
Most of them are in financial debt, too, from that degree, I imagine, are they not?
Yeah, they may have worked themselves out of it in their first career, but they're wanting the second career in tech and not needing to go back and get another degree to do it.
And another question for you, Anne, because you're talking about all these 17 languages and languages changing. Mark says, how does one know which coding languages are best to learn?
It's a great question. So the way that we choose the languages in our school is both things that are accessible to beginners that will allow you to enter the field with what's in demand now. But I would say most of what we're teaching is language independent. So we teach Ruby and JavaScript, but we teach you how to code and how to be a developer, which is much more important.
Let me go to another caller here before I go to more of your emails and online comments. So I'm going to go up to Santa Rosa and welcome Gary to the program. Gary, join us.
Yeah, hi, thanks. I'm a 70-year-old CEO that probably lost four of the last 8 years of my life trusting the wrong engineers and much of my savings. Wishing I had become a programmer, and thinking often about learning programming even at my age. So two questions. One is, given that all my savings have now gone into my startup, are any boot camps ever open to taking equity in a promising startup? We're actually developing the next stage after dating sites to help couples stay together. And if not, are there any Eastern European development camps, coding camps, that would be a whole lot more affordable? And I would guess, since most computer programming is taught by English-speaking people and most of it's in English, would actually be in English and be a lot cheaper, more affordable.
Now, who can help Gary here?
Well, I will say that I've heard of a program in Chicago that was going for a while that was something about a startup accelerator that would teach you to code as well. I honestly don't remember what it was called or where, if it still exists, but that might be a place to start. You may be a good candidate for what Paul is talking about, where you teach yourself using online resources or one of the online boot camps that pair you with a mentor. That might be a good, cheaper alternative for you.
Thank you for the call and good luck to you. And let me read an email from Chris. It says, my experience interviewing people that come out of hacker schools, Code Academy, Dev Bootcamp, Hack Reactor, etc., is they're well below the level of what I expect from a junior developer. At several companies, we get to the point of telling our recruiters not to bother with people coming out of these types of programs unless they've had previous experience. The only times I've seen them to be useful is with programmers that have experience and want an introduction to web development in a more structured way. Paul Ford, that doesn't necessarily equate for you, or does it?
It depends on what you're trying to build, right? So people coming out of these programs, they need some hand-holding. They're going into, as we said, they're often not going into, you know, Google or Facebook. They're going into a big credit card company, or they're going into another large services or commerce company, right? So they're going to go in, and they might be one of like 20 front-end developers building web pages and building experiences. That's a very different experience than if you're one of five programmers in a startup or somebody at an engineering firm who needs to move forward. You know, one thing, too, also, as we're talking, it's important to understand that people understand that, you know, when I hire, what I look for, I really look hard at the code, right? And I look hard at the communication skills of the programmer. And so a lot of, if for a hiring decision, if someone comes out of a code camp and their code is clean and they are really capable of explaining what they did and why, it doesn't matter where they came from. That's not, I'm not going to bias one way or the other, but it takes time and skill to really get good at writing code.
And we go to more of your calls. Let me go next to Scott. Scott, you're on. Thanks for waiting.
Yes. Hi. Good morning. Yeah, I'm just curious, you know, how many people are actually just chasing this promise of a decent paying job with no process of exactly what the job entails? I mean, if you're somebody that wants to sit in front of a computer for hours on end a day, is this something that I mean, I could see that the dropouts being huge in this thing, or the churn. And also, I really hope the federal government does not get involved in the financing of this stuff. I really don't. I mean, we see what happens when that happens. Prices go up, and people incur debt. My point is, what is the churn rate on these in this profession? I mean, especially when you're luring people who've never really been in tech before.
Ann Spaulding, any notion of the churn rate from your perspective?
Sure. I think it's important for people to understand what they're getting into. And we, in most boot camps, try to do a really good job of representing that up front. The churn rate, I mean, we had a little discussion of the churn rate for women. There is really a high dropout rate for women. Hopefully that's something that's going to start changing in the industry. But the notion that development means you're sitting in front of a computer 9 hours a day, every day, not talking to anybody, that's not actually true anymore. You're working on teams. There's a lot of very social environments. You're often very involved with the industry that you're working in as well as the code. So there's a lot of opportunities within this field to have a really varied profession. So I don't have exact churn rate, but it's actually not that high across the board. It's a little bit too high for women.
Let me thank the caller. We'll go right to another caller, and that's Paul in San Mateo. Paul, thank you for waiting. You're on.
Yeah, I just want to point out that this wouldn't be a substitute, but for people who are wondering, you know, do I have any aptitude? Would I be interested? You can go online and say Ruby tutorial, JavaScript tutorial. You're going to find dozens of them, and you can try it. And they're at very slow speeds, different speeds. And you can just kind of see, is this interesting to me? You know, I mean, I'm not saying some people could just learn it all by themselves. I'm not saying it's a substitute, but it's definitely a way to say, do I seem to have any aptitude? Do I seem to have interest in doing this?
Well said. Thank you for that call. And I'm going to go some more online comments. Steve writes, coding is the lowest level of knowledge required to build software systems and is not adequate by itself. Computer science and software engineering are complex disciplines that require more extensive study. Knowing what to code is much more difficult than the actual coding. Nodding your head, Ann Spaulding. In agreement there. Let me read a few more emails here. The listener writes, as a 32-year-old adult looking to make a career change into software development, I am seriously considering a boot camp program. It seems like internships are only available for students and that my current trajectory, entry-level position at a startup and adding tech responsibilities to my job description little by little, would take ages and not necessarily ever result in me reaching my goal. Before I commit, what other options are out there for breaking into the field besides a boot camp? Paul Ford?
Oh, my goodness. It depends on the resources available. If you're a person with some spare time, get involved with an open source project. Start looking around in places like GitHub. Get yourself familiarized. If you're a person with less resources, you know, in New York City, there's a great program like the Recurse Center. And you can go to Recurse and you can work on a project. If you're a woman, you can go to Girl Develop It. Take classes. There are a lot of options out there. They do not promote themselves as heavily and aggressively as the boot camps because they lack the revenue. And so there's a lot of ways to get in and get some experience. I keep trying with the internships. You never know. And broaden your, if you're trying to get an internship at a giant tech company or at a startup where everyone's 25, it might be really tricky. But there are a lot of places that might look for people who have other kinds of experience in the world to come in, especially if their software is in any way related to that field.
Well, here's Roberta, who says the answer is apprenticeships. Employers can work with coding bootcamp graduates and help their own tech talent pipeline by installing tech apprenticeships, and particularly apprenticeships would be great for bringing more tech women into the workforce. That's from Roberta. And this is from John, excuse me, who writes, I can't imagine why somebody would pay $15,000 to learn how to program. All the resources are available online. There's free courses, MOOCs, there's discussion groups, question and answer websites. Any modern programming language has great tutorial documentation available online for free. There is zero reason to do a boot camp. Take a week off from your day job and lock yourself in at home with your computer and a goal. If you run into issues, find a meetup to go to and ask people in the community to help you. Don't pay leeches like this that promise the stars but deliver far less. As a hiring manager, I'd not look highly upon a resume from a boot camp. Want to defend yourself here, Ann Spaulding?
That
kind of criticism?
You know, I'm actually not going to defend because there are lots of ways to learn to code. And you absolutely can learn it online. There's amazing resources and amazing communities out there. Another pathway is to join a bunch of other learners at the same path and come together at a boot camp. It's going to get you there quicker. It's going to get you there more directly, but it's not the only way.
Well, this has been a most illuminating conversation, and I want to thank all the participants. This has not been any endorsement of boot camps. We heard, obviously, a good deal of criticism. We heard from both sides, and that's what we like to do. That's why this is nonprofit radio. Paul Ford, writer and programmer, wrote a piece in Bloomberg Businessweek called What is Code? Joined us from Manhattan. Shauna Scott from Portland, Oregon. She's a junior software engineer and went to coding boot camp at Portland Code School. And Ann Spaulding is here in studio. She directs Dev Boot Camp in San Francisco. And we're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeat at 10 to 11 in the evening. You can, of course, and we encourage you to continue this discussion online by going to kqed.org/forum. Tomorrow in this hour, a very different topic, a very serious topic. We're going to talk about borderline personalities and what they mean. And in our opening hour, we're going to talk about a major bill that has gone through the California State Senate and is now up for the Assembly on climate change and more stringent rules about climate change here in California. Thank you for being a part of this morning's program. We're here with you, as I say, Monday through Friday. And remember that behind the scenes here, our producers, Irene Noguchi, Tina Larberg, Susan Britton, Suki Lewis. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. And for all of us, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and the Bernard Osher Foundation, supporting higher education and the arts.